So Dave and I thought we would confuse you all by switching places today, just to keep you on your toes. But I don't know about you, but the last 15 months, I've felt like it's been a bit of a roller coaster, hasn't it? I mean, I wouldn't have thought 15 months ago that I would have said that Melbourne was 8-0 at this point in time in the ladder. But those of you who hate football, that's my one football reference for the day, and now we can just move on. Sorry, Malcolm. But welcome, it's great to be here today. And also, Mother's Day can be a challenging day for a number of people. It is great to recognise our mums, but we also, there is a whole host of people who today can be a really difficult day as we remember mums that we've lost, mums that we wish we had. And so it's good to just pause for today and recognise that actually there are a whole lot of women who have significant influence and impact in our lives that may not necessarily be our mums. And so it's important for us just to tag who they might be. So it's just recognising that today for Mother's Day. But I want us to actually think about today, how do you read a book? When you pick up a book, how do you read it?
Really slowly.
Really slowly. So for some of us, it's really slowly. Are you someone who gets immersed in a novel that, you know, the saying, it's a bit of a page turner. So you pick it up and you can't put it down and you find yourself at 3 a.m. in the morning going, I have to get up for work in 4 hours. This is going to be a bad day. Are you someone like me? Because I love a good book that hooks me in. I love it if it's a good page turner. But I do have one slight difference when I read a book. I often, not always, but sometimes will read a couple of chapters of a book and then I'll go to the last chapter in the book. And then I'll go back and work out how did they get there. And occasionally I'll read the last chapter in the book and I'll go, who are they? I don't know who they are. And how did they get there? And I have no idea how this happened. Oh, I need to find out. So then I'll go back and I'll read through Wikipedia. Deb goes straight for the summary of the book. And some of you right now are re-evaluating your friendship with me based on the way in which I read a book. Yeah.
Or just watch the movie.
So sometimes if I read the last chapter in the book, I actually won't go back to the rest of the book because it all just made sense. I'm like, well, that's what I thought was going to happen, so I don't need to read the rest of it now. Let's just move on. And I think sometimes when I read scripture, I actually bring that process into reading scripture. Sometimes I can have that same account or that same attitude. If I know the ending, what's the use in reading the process about how they got to that? And especially when it comes to the period that we're in right now. So we've just had Easter. We're heading up to Pentecost in a couple of weeks. And, you know, for some of us, we just go, well, it's pretty simple. Jesus died. He rose again. Mary discovered his body wasn't in the tomb. The disciples went there, found the same. Jesus appeared to them. Then the Holy Spirit fell, and that's the end of the story. So we do a bit of a summary because we know the whole picture. We know what happens at the end. But if we actually think about for a minute, what was it like for the disciples when they were in the middle of it? Because they didn't know the ending. They didn't know what it was going to be like at Pentecost. They didn't know when Jesus died that he was going to rise. He gave them enough hints, but if they're like me, they probably wouldn't have worked it out. And so we see what struck me as I've read the accounts in scripture is the roller coaster ride that the disciples have gone on between the death and resurrection of Jesus and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. this time between Easter and Pentecost. So we have these disciples who for 3 years live with Jesus, learning from him, and then it all ends, it seems, with Jesus dying. In the accounts, we recognise the grief and the distress that they would have been feeling, and the shock that they would have had in discovering that his body was no longer there. In John 20, Mary discovers the empty tomb and tells the disciples, and they run to see for themselves what had happened. Now, as I read the account in John, I know the ending of the story, and so I read it knowing what's about to come, but that wasn't the experience of the disciples. They didn't know that. We know that Jesus then appears to them a number of times. He eats with them. He shows them his hands and his side. He breathes on them to receive the Holy Spirit. He reveals himself to Thomas, who doubted. We can all find something in Thomas, in ourselves, I think. Elation as they discovered Jesus was alive, seeing Jesus in the flesh, and then they go fishing. Now I sit there, chapter 21. So chapter 20, we see all these times that Jesus appears to them, and then in chapter 21, we see them going, I'm just going to go back fishing. I think I'll go fishing. I'm like, what the? Like, Jesus is risen. He's here with you. And they, I think it was literally a bit of a, well, I don't know what we do now. What do we do now? So when they go back to what they know, and then Jesus appears to them beside the lake. They catch a lot of fish. Again, they eat with a Jesus. He appears for the third time. What a roller coaster for them. Grief. Fear, confusion, elation, confusion, increased confidence. Then this sort of no man's land. Go back to old habits. Sounds like us a bit over the last 15 months, don't you reckon? Grief, fear, confusion, elation, confusion, angst. No man's land, what are we doing? Where do we go? Then we see this instruction from Jesus in Acts 1. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. They again want to know the end game. We see it here. What's in the last chapter? Because they say, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And then he says, stop reading the end of the book. You don't get to know that. That's not for you to know. What he reinforces for them, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So I would be one of those, Lord, are you going to do this? I want to know the end of the story. He's like, no, you don't get to know the end of the story. Just hang in there. You just need the power to go out and be my witnesses. So we get to Pentecost finally after this. They go back. Actually, they go to the upper room. They have a bit of a church meeting because they realise they need someone to organise. They're missing someone. So they have a bit of a church meeting. And then throughout this time, they're praying and they're worshipping, and then the Holy Spirit falls. What a ride. I reckon they would have gone, whew, we've made it, as the roller coaster rolls to a stop at the end of the ride. Awesome. Pentecost. We've got the Holy Spirit. We've made it to the end of the book. Right? When we think about the Holy Spirit, I think Pentecost is the end of the book. Because the Holy Spirit falls, that's the end game. We just want the Holy Spirit to fall. But it's almost like we need to be reminded there's a sequel. Wait, there's more. We get steak knives now. In the last episode, it's like the sequel, so you can hear the voiceover in the last episode. The disciples were waiting in the upper room. The Holy Spirit fell. There was fire. There was wind. They spoke in other languages. Now. And what we see happening from there is them going out, preaching the word, speaking words that they were given by God, healing people. They were instructed by the Holy Spirit where to go. Paul was converted, the guy who was the massive enemy of the Christians, was converted. God fell in a powerful way. So Pentecost isn't the end of the story when it comes to the Holy Spirit, but I wonder if one of the biggest challenges we have in engaging with the Holy Spirit is that we expect our encounter to look exactly like the disciples. We want the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We know that we need the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit being the empowering presence of God. You know, I want to go and speak with people, speak in God's words. When I pray for someone, I would love to see healing. I want to see God restore and redeem people and work in our community. I want that to happen. We need the Holy Spirit for that to happen. But when we don't receive it like it happened at Pentecost, I wonder if we think we don't have the Holy Spirit with us. So as we work through the New Testament, we see the people of God having the Holy Spirit being poured out on their life time and time again. Now the Holy Spirit's not a one-off outpouring. Paul speaks a lot about the empowering of the Holy Spirit. So Pentecost is the moment of pause to help us remember that we constantly need the Holy Spirit being poured into our lives. We need the empowering work of the Spirit, healing us, teaching us, speaking through us, helping us to experience the love of God that pours into our lives and that we can pour into other people's lives. Now, throughout Scripture, there are lots of images that are used to help us identify what the outpouring of the Spirit looks like and the effect when it is. It's described as breath, the breath of God, a rushing wind, the river of life. And Ezekiel 47, there's some beautiful imagery of water being poured out from the temple and it deepens as the prophet moves along. But the thing I want to point out is that in Ezekiel 47, it talks about, then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. There were a large number of fish because where this water flows, it makes the salt water fresh. Everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore. There will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. Where the Spirit flows, there is life. And that's the life I need. Psalm 1, it reminds me of Psalm 1. Verse 3. You can never get to it fast when you want to. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do, prosper. So always the work of the Spirit brings life. It's amazing. I need that life, especially over the last 15 months where everything felt like it was stagnant. Now, I don't know how you felt that you're at today, where there might be areas in your life that are dry, where you might need restoration. where you might need healing, where you might need empowering. It may be that you're raring to go. You want the next adventure and you need God to show you what that is. But the Spirit is the one who empowers us, who gives us what God wants us to have. So in the looking at the disciples' behaviour in the lead up to Pentecost, I want us to consider three things about how we can encounter God, how we can open ourselves and encounter the Holy Spirit. The first one that we see that the disciples did, in the emotions of post-Easter, I talked about the fact that they went fishing, right? They went back out doing what they normally did. But when they saw Jesus on the bank and they recognised, what did they do? They ran, well, they swam. They ran in the water towards him. It's quite an amazing scripture account. They basically put their clothes back on and off they dove into the water and off they went to Jesus. They wanted to be close to Jesus. So the first thing I want us to consider is proximity. Are we moving towards Jesus? Are we moving in a way that we are wanting to encounter God? We are wanting the outpouring of the Spirit. So proximity. Are we moving towards him? In my daily life, am I making sure that I'm moving closer towards Jesus? The second thing that I want us to think about from proximity is posture. In the vein of David, I have got three P's for us today. So we've got proximity and posture. We see the disciples when they're in the upper room, they are, yes, they have the church meeting. It made me chuckle when I read that. But they also worshipped and prayed. Their posture, their face was turned to God. So we can be moving towards God, but we can get distracted by a whole bunch of other things that are going on around us. And we need to make sure that our posture, that our face is turned to God. Maybe we're carrying a lot of burdens and we can find ourselves looking down. So I love Psalm 121 because it reminds me, I lift my eyes up. And what happens when we lift our eyes up? Our posture changes. Lift your eyes up to the Lord. Where does my help come from? So are we moving towards God? Do we have our face, our posture turned towards him? And the third one is power. So the outcome of posture and proximity is that we receive power, but we need to have open hands and open hearts to do it. Maybe it looks like courage for you to open your hands or your heart to God. Maybe it looks like receiving love. When God pours out his power on us, we need open hands and open hearts to receive it. I love the songs this morning. They were fantastic choices, Zara, because it constantly reminds us as we worship God through song of his kindness, of the way that he draws us to himself, of the way that he is wanting to pour new wine into our lives constantly. A couple of weeks ago when we had our spiritual potluck, I had this image of God pouring his rain upon us. But it looked different for different people. For some of us, we needed the gentle mist of the rain just constantly drifting down. For others of us, we needed a drenching, like think Queensland thunderstorm, downpour. And for others of us, we needed intermittent showers. When we come to Pentecost, sometimes we freak out about what would it look like for God to pour his Holy Spirit on us, or we really desperately want it. God will pour out his Spirit. It says in Acts 2, he pours out his Spirit on all men and women. The reference from Joel. And he does that in the way that we need. He does that in the way that will help us best encounter him. So I'm just going to invite you to ask God, what sort of rain does he want to pour out on you today? Do you need the gentle mist? Do you need the downpour? Do you need the intermittent showers? The warm rain. There is nothing like a Queensland downpour because it's like a warm shower. Maybe you need the warm shower of his embrace. I'm just going to invite the music team back up. Because we need to realise we haven't reached the end of the story. We haven't reached the end of our story. We haven't reached the end of God's story. So we constantly need the refueling and the focus of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on our lives. So just stand with me where you are. And I just invite you to hold out your hands. Open hands, open heart. And Lord, we turn our face to you. We posture ourselves in front of you. And Father, our hearts desire to move towards you. So Lord, as we stand here with open hands and open hearts, Father, pour out your Spirit upon us in the way that you're wanting to do today.